When he's calling for you, listen to your heart. There's nothing else you can do.
We're going to continue our series. We've been going for the past 5 weeks. This is the fifth week, how to hear God's voice. We started off learning that we are sheep, and the shepherd is calling, and he is talking, and God is talking to us today. We then went on to being not a sheep, but also becoming a friend of God, and how God says that he longs to call you and I friend, that he longs to be more than just our lifeguard. He longs to be more than just a person who rescues us in our time of trouble. But he's wanting that everyday relationship with us that leads us and guides us. And he can even look at you as he did Abraham, said, I can call you and I friend. We looked at last week about being a prophet. Anybody prophesy this week? Anybody speak prophecy this week? If you did, I need to go back and preach that message again. How many know God's speaking, right? God is speaking, and we are listening. So if God is speaking to us and we are hearing what he's saying, when we speak out what we hear God saying, we are prophesying. We are speaking out. And we looked at Scripture all last week. We looked at every Scripture that says that he says, I wish that you would all prophesy. Not just one time, but we've seen this many, many times, this pattern of Scripture where he says, I wish they would all prophesy. And many times when we think of the word prophet, we think of someone who is in the office of a prophet, who is called to bring a prophecy to a nation or to a region of people or to a certain situation. But all of us are called to be prophets in the sense that we are called to speak what God is saying to us, not to make some freak show about it, but simply when we're on our jobs, when we're at a work, or we're at a school, in our families, in the neighborhood, as God is speaking and we are hearing and we are speaking out what we hear God say to us, it's affirmation, it's encouraging, it's edifying, according to Scripture. It edifies people, it encourages them, and it brings them along a joy in their life of encouraging what God is saying to them. And so I hope that you do not, if you did not get that message last week, you need to go online. This is one of those services last week when we preach, you could just feel God say, all right, Destiny, it's time for you to take another step in maturing in your spiritual walk. You can just feel that. All across the room last week as God was speaking to us. And so if you are not able to be here last week, go online, mydestinychurch.com. Listen to that message. Make sure you get that message into your spirit that God is wanting to use you. He's not only speaking to you, but he wants to use you to say what he's speaking. So how do we know when God speaks to us if it's really him? Isn't that a big question? I mean, I can appreciate somebody says, I want to say what God's speaking to me, but I really want to make sure it's God. And I can really appreciate that because I know too many people who have just the opposite feeling in their life. They think everything God's speaking to them and they want to share it. And you're thinking, God didn't say that. There's no way God said that because it doesn't line up with what his word says. But there's the balance of us knowing, all right, God is speaking to us. How do I confirm that I'm hearing God? How do I confirm that God is really speaking to me? Look what Mark 16:20 says. And they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. That God gives signs to us. We see in the Scripture where God says that there are signs that will accompany God's word. Well, when God is speaking a word to you, you will have signs that will confirm it. So if you are wondering whether or not God is speaking to me, just be patient. I guarantee you that there will be signs that will follow that will confirm in your spirit that this is God or not of God. Matthew 18:16. I love this scripture because it says, but if he will not hear. Now, first of all, this scripture is talking about the person who you got to address who is doing something wrong, and you need to go to them and address what they're doing wrong. But I love the spirit behind it because look what it says. But if he will not hear, take with you one, two, or two more, that by the mouth of two or what? Three witnesses, every word may be established. That we know that when God is speaking a word to us, it's more than just one person that is hearing that word. That we can hear the word of the Lord come from two or three people and we can establish whether that word is true. There's a famous story in Judges about a guy by the name of Gideon. And I love the story of Gideon. It's one of my favorite stories of all time in the Bible. If you've never read Judges chapter 6, the story of Gideon, you need to take time, read it. We're going to highlight some of the story today. But it's a story, and Gideon's famous for giving God a fleece. When he said, God, if this is really you, then you do this. And prove to me that this is really you speaking. And what was happening here, let me quickly give you the background behind the story, is that the Israelites were under attack by the Midianites, and they were coming, and they were taking over the land, and God was trying to raise up a new generation. God was trying to raise up a new leader who would take back the land that God had given him. He would destroy the altars of Baal, destroy the altars of idol worship, and restore back the house of the Lord and to the camp of Israel. And so God was speaking to Gideon, but Gideon's hiding like everybody else. They're all hiding, fearing for their lives in the caves. And we're going to pick it up here in Judges chapter 6. Let's pick it up in verse 17. Then he said to him. Now, let me clarify first. When he's saying he said to him, in verse 11 of this chapter, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, okay? And the angel. Let me give you something about Scripture. When you see the word, and the angel of the Lord, not an angel or a angel of the Lord, but it says the angel of the Lord, he is talking about, in the Old Testament, is talking about Jesus, that the Spirit of Jesus actually appeared to him, okay? This is before Jesus came, was born in the virgin birth, but the Son was already there before the virgin birth, okay? He was in heaven. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are already there in heaven alongside the Father, okay? And so when it says the angel of the Lord, he's actually talking about Jesus, okay? So here we go. Jesus is appearing to Gideon, okay? Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talks with me. The angel of the Lord shows Gideon, goes to Gideon, says, hey, Gideon, I want you to get ready. God's going to deliver the Midianites in your hand. I'm going to call forth an army out of you, and you're going to go and defeat this army, okay? And this is Gideon's response. If I have now found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talks with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until you bring me out of my offering and set it before you. And look what he says. And he said, I will wait until you come back. Now, this is, I want you to get the picture, because this is a very humorous picture. Here, Jesus appears to Gideon and saying, Gideon, hey, don't be hiding in the cave. I'm going to deliver. God's hand is going to be upon you. You're going to deliver God's people once again. You're going to rise up a great army. This is what's going to happen. And he shares all this with them, and Gideon's like, okay, but first of all, I need a sign. And it's really you speaking to me. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to prepare an offering. And so this was a long, tedious thing. This wasn't no easy, quick fix. Let me go to the microwave and warm me up at dinner, okay? This was the dressing, the killing and the slaughtering and then the dressing and the preparing of the offering of the young goat that was required this time. And Gideon's saying, hey, stay here. I'm going to bring an offering. And so I love this response because this is Jesus talking. Gideon's saying, Jesus, I need to know if it's really you, Jesus. And look what Jesus' response. Okay, I will wait until you come back. Can you imagine? Now, I can just imagine Jesus being there going, okay, I know who I am. Obviously, Gideon, you're having a problem with this, but it's okay. I understand. I'll wait for you, Gideon. I'll give you your side. I mean, isn't this very much a humorous story when you really think about it, that Jesus is taking time to wait on Gideon to figure out it's really Jesus? This is what's happening here. So Gideon went and prepared a young goat and the unleavened bread from an ephah and of a flour, and the meat he put in the basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented it to them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put the end of the staff out, which was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and the fire rose out of the rock, consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So Gideon's asking for a sign. He lays the offering on the altar. The angel of the Lord, who is Jesus, takes the end of the staff in his hand, touches the rock. The rock, flames come up, consume the offering, and then the angel of the Lord disappears. Now, how many know that's a pretty good sign? Just saying, if I happen just to wake up tomorrow and that happened to me, I would be a believer, okay? And then I saw your face. Oh, come on, we think about it. I would be a believer, okay? This is Jesus talking. But Gideon, he's still having a hard time with proving, is this really God or is it not? So let's pick it back up in verse 19 and 21. Look what it says. Did I already read 19, 21? I think I did. Let's pick it back up in verse 36 and 40. And so Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool in the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung out dew out of the fleece, into a bowl of water. And then Gideon said to God, all right, God, there's dew all over this fleece, but there's no dew in the ground. That's like I asked you. This was exactly how it was. It wasn't just a little bit of dew. He could squeeze it out and fill up a bowl of water. And look what he says, all right, God, don't be angry with me, but I need one more sign. If you're asking me to do this thing for you, I need just one more sign. Don't be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry on the fleece, but all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but when he woke up, there was dew all over the ground. And so we see Gideon putting out a test before God. God was asking Gideon to do something great for him. He was asking Gideon to be obedient. Gideon was obedient to God, and he said, listen, Gideon, call all the men of Israel together. And they called all the men of Israel together and prepare them for war. And so they prepared for war. We see where 32,000 men showed up. That's a pretty good army right away. Don't you think? 32,000 men. I can see Gideon. All right, God, we got this. We got this, God. 32,000 men. Got me, my back. We can handle this. I can see his faith level just really rising up. And then we see God says, all right, Gideon, first of all, I want you to tell every man that's here, if you're even the least bit scared, you can leave right now. How many know? How many left? How many left? 22,000 left them right away. 22,000 left to go home. And so he's left with 10,000 men. He looks around. All right, 32,000. Now I got 10,000. But, okay, God, we got this. We can handle it. Us 10,000 guys, we can handle this. And God looks down and says, no, Gideon, you can't handle this, because if this was to happen this way, I wouldn't get the glory. He says, Gideon, take them all to drink. And when they begin to drink the water, the ones who lap up like a dog when they drink the water, that's the ones I want you to take and to use in the battle. And so the 10,000 guys go down to get a drink of water, and only 300 of them actually go down and begin to drink it like a dog, man. They get down and just lap up that water. Oh, I'm thirsty. You can imagine, these are the guys who have no worries, you know. Out of the ones who had lapped, I'm sure these are the guys who had no manners at all. Just down there, get out of the way, I'm thirsty. Everybody else is taking their time, drinking properly, getting the drink. These guys, get out of my way. The ragtag bunch left, and God says, all right, Gideon, these are the guys I want you to take in battle with, these 300 men. I mean, 32,000, now he's got 300. How many know you need to hear from God if God's telling you to go in battle with 300 guys instead of 32,000? You need a sign from God, and God is providing signs. And God was okay with Gideon asking for a sign from him. We know this even, and Gideon was like, all right, God, 300, okay, I believe you, but can you just give me one more sign? And so God says, all right, I want you to disguise yourself. Go down to the Midianites' camp, and I want you to walk through. And as he disguises himself, sneaks into their enemy's camp, he's there. And we see where, while he's there, the soldiers are talking. And one of them says, hey, man, I'm so nervous. He goes, I had a dream last night that this big loaf came down, man, and they hit the tents, and it knocked over every tent like a domino and destroyed the whole camp. And the Lord spoke to me and says, this was the sword of Gideon. And the Lord's going to deliver Israel back into our hands, because the sword of Gideon is going to kill us all. And they're all nervous and shaking in their boots. And Gideon's like, okay, all right. These guys are already nervous. They don't realize I only have 300. They think I got 32,000. And they know God is before me. So he takes that out. And he goes back. He says, all right, God, I'm ready. And we see where God delivers Israel back into the hands of the Lord, and delivers the Midianites back into their hands to defeat the army. But the thing about this I want you to get is this fact that God is okay with us testing. Because here is Gideon being obedient to what God's saying in multiple times. We see where Gideon was saying, God, I need a sign from you. And he was okay with that. He was okay with saying, God, I really need to hear you clearly. God, is this really you? God, if it's really you, I want you to confirm it in my spirit that I'm hearing you. Now today, I appreciate Gideon's heart. First of all, we said we should have just been obedient right away. Listen, when you're going to take 32,000 lives into your hand and take them down to do war, you better make sure you're hearing God. This isn't him just throwing out across the street and saying, God, do you want me to go across the street and feed this person or stop and give this person gas? I mean, he was taking 32,000 people with him to do war. He better hear from God. And so I appreciate the fact that he multiple times said, God, I need you to confirm what you're saying to me. Even though he met with Jesus face to face. Jesus, I believe it's you, but just to make sure I'm not seeing things. Just to make sure I didn't come home from Sunday morning service and they were singing my song and I thought I saw something I didn't see. I need to feel the same way on Monday morning as I did on Sunday morning when I left. He was needing God to confirm in him, and God was okay with that. Jesus was fine with that. Jesus said, all right, I'll wait for you. It's okay. And when he put out the testing, God even answered his tests to prove what he was saying to you. So let me give you three ways quickly to confirm when God is speaking to you. How do you confirm it? First of all, God will confirm it in his word, with his wisdom, and his ways. His word, his wisdom, and his ways. This is how God always confirms when he speaks to us. Through the word of the Lord. Does his word line up with what's being said? Is there wisdom with what's being said to you? Is people bringing wisdom from the Lord to confirm it? And does it line up with the nature and the character of God? His ways. So let's break it down. Number one, does it line up with the Bible? Would the Bible agree with you about what God is telling you to do? That's the question. Would the Bible agree with you about what God is telling you to do? Yes, it would. It should and always will. Write this statement down. It's a very good statement. God's voice will never disagree with God's word. God's voice will never disagree with God's word. This is so true in our life. When God is speaking to you to do something, how do I know if this is God? Because his voice will never disagree with God's word. Well, Pastor, I believe God wants me to forgive somebody who did me wrong, but I'm having a hard time with it. I don't know if God really wants me to forgive them. God told me it's okay not to forgive them. I felt that in my heart. I felt that. God told me in my heart, it's okay not to forgive them. I'm here to tell you that's very untrue. Because Scripture tells us that we have all received grace of God. We have all received God's forgiveness, and we are all called to forgive all those who have trespasses against us, who have done us wrong. We are all called to bring forgiveness. So I can't say, God spoke to me and told me it's okay not to forgive them. Even though your heart, you're having a hard time forgiving. It's all right to say, you know what, God, I know you want me to forgive them, but I'm having a hard time. That's being honest, but it's not contradicting to what God's word says. Well, God's word told me when it's tough financially that it's okay for me not to pay my tithes. Woo. God's word never says that. That's my flesh saying I don't want to pay it because I'm nervous that I won't have enough. I'm having a hard time believing that faith will, that God will multiply and take care of my needs. Well, God's word told me that I need to start a home group. Does it say that? No, it doesn't. I got you. But see, that's just an area. See what I'm saying? So you can say to yourself, all right, God wants me to be a leader. But we can look in Scripture where it says he wants you to be a person who disciples others. We spend time in relationship with others. And he will confirm that. I'll talk to you more about that in a few minutes. But he confirms it and he speaks it into it. God's word, voice, will never disagree with God's word. We see in Scripture where the Pharisees, many times, they tried to twist the word of the Lord around in Jesus to get him to trip up and to go against what he had to say. And Jesus always rebuked these people. He always rebuked these Pharisees who would try to take Scripture and twist it around and use it for their advantage. When it came to divorce, when it came to other things about giving, when it came to things about healing, when it came to about doing things on the Sabbath, they were always trying to twist it around to their advantage. And Jesus always spoke out. He always confirmed what they were saying. They were bringing, but the law says this. And Jesus would say, you're right, the law does say this, but I say even more so, this is what I say. He always confirmed what the word said. He never allowed the word to be a trap. Don't take things out of context, please. Don't take one verse. Be careful of people who take one verse and base everything they say that God is saying to them on one verse. Because you know who was good at that? Satan. He was really good at that. He quoted scripture one verse at a time, and he would try to use it to trick people and try to use it to manipulate. He even did it to Jesus. Remember what he says? Your scripture says, if you be the Son of Man, that your angels have charge over you, throw yourself down, they'll catch you. He was quoting a verse and taking it out of context to try to tempt and get Jesus to fall to that temptation. Satan's very good about taking one verse. The Bible will speak for itself. It's not just one verse, but it will confirm itself over and over and over again. It will confirm what God is speaking to you. The very nature of the Bible, the very nature of the context of the overview, it will continue to speak out and confirm what God's saying to you. Let me ask you this question. Number two, does God's counsel agree? This is a good one. Does God's counsel agree? Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is what? Wise. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds the counsel is what? A wise person. Proverbs 24:6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. We know that God has set up godly counsel in our life to confirm what he's saying to you and I. But listen to this part. Godly counsel is not to hear God for you. Godly counsel should confirm what God is already saying to you. So you don't come to me and say, Pastor, can you hear God for me on this situation? What you should come and say, Pastor, this is what God is telling me. This is what God is leading me. Would you pray and be in agreement with me about this word? And so I can pray with you or somebody else or Pastor Matt or one of your home group leaders or one of your friends that you know is a person of spiritual maturity and say, hey, this is what God's speaking to me already. Would you pray with me about this and let God speak through a multitude of counselors? I don't go to him and say, I don't have any answers. Would you pray and give me the answers? No, God wants to speak to you, and he wants to use others to confirm what he's already speaking to you. I remember one time I was going through a situation in my life where I had a lot of people trying to give me opinions on what to do. You ever had that time happen in your life? And everybody who was close to that situation had a different opinion. And so finally, I had to just back up and say, wait, this is just too much. And I remember I called up four people from around the nation who were not connected to my situation. And I explained everything I was going through, and I shared with them what God was speaking to me, and I asked them to pray. And every one of these guys later came back and said, I confirm what God's saying to you. I confirm what you're hearing from the Lord. I confirm what you're being led to do. And, I used that counsel, and it really just uplifted me. Oh, by the way, it was the Start Destiny Church, and so I believe God was behind what was going on. But everybody close to me was like, everybody had a different opinion. Well, I don't know if this church needs another town. This town needs another church, I should say. Maybe this church doesn't need another town. We don't have another story altogether. That's a satellite church we're talking about. I'm prophesying to you now about the satellite church coming. I had pastors in this town who, I don't know if it was because of fear or that, you know, the competition, they thought they were perceiving as competition. I had pastors in this town call me up. They're like, I don't think you need to start another church. This town doesn't need another church. I mean, some of the crazy things that happened, and I know their motives were not bad. It wasn't hearing from God. They were letting their flesh and fear take over. So it's important for me to remove myself from the situation, and I called some people up that I knew would hear from God. I shared what God was sharing with me, and I wanted to hear. I respect what you have to say. If I am out of the line here, you let me know. And these people all prayed and spoke into my life and confirmed what God was already speaking to me. There's wisdom and counsel. There's wisdom and godly counsel in what God is wanting to do. Seek counsel with what God wants you to do. When you have people come to you trying to speak out against what God's doing, don't just get mad right away. Just pray about it and go to those you trust and say, just pray with me about the situation. I guarantee you God will speak and confirm his word. The third thing, do I have peace about it? When God speaks to me, do I have peace about what God is saying? It always takes faith to do what God is asking you to do. It always takes faith to follow after God. Numbers chapter 11 says, by faith that Noah, by faith Moses, by faith Gideon, these guys went out and did what God had put in their heart. It always takes faith to move out. And let me tell you, when you move in faith, and many times you're nervous. Can I tell you that? When God spoke to me to start Destiny Church, I was nervous, man. Because, man, I just think, God, help someone shows up. We don't have any money to start this church. I had a little bit of money in savings. My wife, we're like, we're just going to go for it. I don't know. That's what God's lead us to do. But I was nervous. I had a lot of faith that God was going to do something. I had a lot of faith that God was going to come through. But I didn't know. I'll tell you, I was nervous. Is that all right, to be honest? I was nervous. But I didn't let fear rule my heart. I let the peace of God. I had a peace that I was doing what God had asked me to do. And I let that peace to rule my heart. Colossians 3:15 says, in the peace of God, let the peace of God, but what? Rule your heart. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and the minds through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will rule your heart. When God is speaking a word to you, you know you'll have peace in your heart. Not only will you have confirmation, you'll ask God, give me signs. God will give you confirmation. He'll speak it out in counsel. He'll tell people around you, and they'll have peace about it. But ultimately, you're going to have peace. And when you know, all right, I've heard from God. I've had confirmation through signs. And now God has given me a peace of my heart about the situation. Now I know it's God. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with waiting for God's peace to move when what God's telling you to do. Now let me clarify this very carefully. Because I want you to realize what I'm saying. Gideon was very important when you take, like I said, 32,000 people in a battle that you hear from God. And he took his time. Now, if I leave here today and God tells me to stop and give a person gas, I don't have to say, God, give me a sign. Because his word has already talked about how I am to treat others the way I want to be treated. His word already talks about loving my neighbor as myself. His word has already confirmed that, so I can automatically realize, God, you already confirmed that, and I know that you want me to do this, okay? Now, if God speaks to me about moving from Joplin to go to Oregon to take a new job and take my kids out of their school and to think about what I got to do and all this, then I better hear from God because there's a lot at risk here. There's a lot of things at stake more than just taking a new job. So I would pray about that, and I would get counsel from those. Agree with me in prayer, and then I wouldn't make that decision until I had a peace from God to make that decision. You understand the difference of what's going on? Some things God's already confirmed, okay? And so don't use that for an excuse to not do anything. Well, when God shows me a sign, God, if you want me to give them gas, have the person at the gas station say, you can have $10 of free gas right now. I don't have to put a fleece out because God's word already tells me that I'm to treat my neighbor the way I want to be treated, to love them as myself. So we can't use that for an excuse because his word will always confirm what his spirit is telling me. But when it comes to stepping out, sometimes like I was talking about, for instance, a home group leader. If God's calling you, you know what? When we get ready to start the next batch of home groups, I already feel God telling me to open up my home, to be a home group leader. But you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let my spouse. And if God, if you want me to do this as well, I want you to have my spouse feel the same way. And we can confirm it in each other when we get to talk about it. And I don't know how many times I've heard that happen. People said, I was thinking about it, and my spouse brought it up, and I was like, oh, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And God confirmed that thing happening. Over and over again, God will use people to confirm. He'll use wisdom. He'll use his peace to confirm what he's doing, okay? So the question is, does God still speak today? Does God still speak? Yes, he does. Does he want me to speak out a word? Yes, he does. We talked about last week that we can judge the spirit of the person who's giving us that word. And if that person is giving us a word with a bad spirit, when I mean if they're doing it for their own gain, or they're doing it to show off, or they're doing it for the wrong reason, you feel hesitant about, you know what, I don't really receive that, you can say that very easily. You know what, I don't receive that because I just don't feel the right spirit coming from that person. But the word that they're speaking should always line up with God's word. If someone wants to give you a word, hey, I just feel like God wants you to know this. Just think in my heart. Does what they're telling me line up with what God's word says? Because his voice will never contradict or disagree with his word. That's how I know and confirm when God is speaking to me. When God's speaking to me to start this ministry, how do I know if it's God? I can tell you, you're going to have a peace about it. And as you share with others, they're going to get excited about it. You're going to share it to somebody else. So you know what? I was praying about the same thing. Oh, my sister was talking about starting this as well. You two need to get it hooked up. He'll begin to confirm it in you. God is speaking. Let's confirm what he's saying. And let's be obedient to what he's already wanting us to do. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, you're speaking to us. We thank you, Father, that we are learning to speak out as we tune in to what you're saying to us. You're teaching us how to confirm what's being said to us through your word, which has already been established, through counsel of godly men and women you put in our life, through their wisdom, through the peace of God, which will rule our hearts. God, I pray that, Father, we'll learn to yield to what you're saying to us. We'll learn to be obedient to what you're saying to us, God, as we learn to do that. God, you're going to speak and bring confirmation to us. And Lord, I believe that great things are going to continue to happen. If you're here this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to give you a chance. Maybe you're here like the people who were here last week, the six people last week who said, Pastor, I'm ready to make a life-changing decision. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You're talking about God speaking. Well, today, I can be honest, Pastor, and tell you God's speaking to my heart right now. He's telling me that it's time for me to give my life to him. Today, I want to become a Christian. I want to make sure that heaven's my home, and I want to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me my sins. I want to accept him as my Lord and Savior. Today is my day. God's speaking to me. I've never prayed this prayer before. Maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago, and today you say, I've been so far away from God, but today I want to come back and I want to renew my commitment to the Lord. If that's you here today and say, Pastor, I'm ready to make that decision today. Nobody's looking at all. I will not embarrass you one bit. But can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I am ready to make a decision to follow after Christ today. Raise it high where I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these people today? Say, I'm ready. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these three people today? Say, I'm ready to make a decision today. One more time, if you haven't raised your hand, raise it right now where I can see it. Say, I'm ready, Pastor, to make that decision, to follow after Christ. The most important thing you'll ever do, right here. We're going to all say this prayer together, and especially those who raised your hands today. I want you to repeat after me, and I want you to mean it from your heart. And we're going to say it along with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I give you everything I am. I give to you today. I believe in your son, Jesus. He died on the cross for me. I believe he is the Messiah. And from this day forward, I will live for him. I will follow after him. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, amen, today, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give him a hand clap. Yeah. Now, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, let me tell you what I need you to do. Before you leave today, stop by your information booth in the back. We've got a free Bible, some information that tells you what to do next, next steps you need to make. You need a church home. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here. And we'd love to love on you and just support you. You need that. Today is not the end, but it's the beginning of a new relationship. It's the beginning of a new journey in Jesus Christ where you begin to follow after him. It's just a starting point. And today we want to support you in that decision. Make sure you grab that before you leave today and let us come around you and support you. I'm going to invite you to stand where you're at today. How many today say, Pastor, I want to hear God's voice in such a clear way like I never had before? If that's you, say, I'm hoping this series, Pastor, I'm praying this series that I hear God's voice like I've never heard him before in my life. I believe his spirit is here. I believe he's increasing the anointing that's being poured out upon us. He's speaking to us very clearly as we submit our lives to him. We're going to close out with a song. It's not a new song, but it's new to us today. We're doing it for the first time here. And I want you to say, God, I want your rain to fall upon me today. God, I want you to open up to heaven. I want to hear your voice in a very clear way. All through Scripture, we see God, his presence being referred to as the rain of heaven. That the rain of heaven would fall, and it would be as God's presence falling upon his people. Today, we're going to pray that God's rain would fall to us. Come on, Justin.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates. feel the rains of your love. We feel the winds of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. We feel the rains of your love. We feel the winds of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. Come on, sing it. We feel the rains of your love. We feel the winds of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. We feel the rains of your love. We feel the winds of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. And let it rain. Let it
up to the Lord today, Father. We lift our hands to you. With our hands lifted up for the Lord today, we say, Father, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fill my life today. Fill me fresh and anew, God, that I can hear your voice loud and clear. Lord, that I can confirm your voice, Lord, and I would learn to speak out your voice. Lord, I may be a prophet to my generation. God, you're raising up a prophetic generation. Lord, you said in the last days you would pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, Lord, your sons and your daughters, Lord, your men servants, your maid servants. God, you said you would prophesy, God, we would speak according to the word of the Lord, the things you're speaking to us. And God, I believe that God, a Destiny Church is being called out, Lord, to be a prophetic generation. God, that we would speak the prophetic voice over a people. Words of encouragement, words of edification, words of healing, words, Lord, that bring peace, words that bring forgiveness, words that bring restoration, words that bring healing, words that bring glory to our Father in heaven. Father, we thank you today, giving you praise, giving you glory. One more time. Come on, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Question the Holy Spirit is saying today, are you ready? He's ready to reveal. He's ready to communicate. He's ready to talk. He's waiting for somebody. He'll say, God, I'll speak your word. God, I'll speak what you're telling me. Let it be our prayer, Destiny Church. We're not going to be afraid. We're going to be obedient to speak out what God is sharing to us. Words of edification, words of encouragement. Today, God is going to speak to us, and we're going to listen. We're going to confirm it. We're going to speak it out. Justin's going to close us out in a word of prayer today. Thank you so much for being here. Go out of here. Say, God, I'm ready to hear your voice.
God, let it rain on us, God. Lord, we pray that your Spirit, God, would come upon us like a mighty flood, God, and wash away everything that's not of you, God. Lord, leaving only souls, God, that love you and that are obedient to you, God, and souls that can hear you, God, with no obstacles, God, and be ready to perform your will in this world, God. Lord, we love you so much, God. Lord, we look forward, God, to hearing, God, your words for us, God, so that we can spread your word, God, with love to everyone that we come into contact with, God. Lord, let it rain on us this week, God, in our schools, in our homes, God, in our jobs, God, at Walmart, at the gas station, God. Lord, just let us be so full of your Spirit, God, Lord, that it leaks and oozes out of all of our pores, God. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.